Secretary Roman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kevin Roman here, Interim Department Secretary of the Ames Chief Parks. I just want to thank you for the support of the program. You know, with the mild winter we're seeing, along with our enhanced efforts towards habitat management, more habitat and landscape, and the continuation of this program, I'm really excited, and it's going to be easy to say that we should expect to see a fantastic pheasant season in 2021. So hopefully we get some timely spring precip here, and the winter continues to be what it has been, and we can, again, expect to see a great pheasant season moving forward along with a great waterfall season. So thanks for here and looking forward to the next month to come.
Thank you. All right, we're moving into information items. We'll start out with the Canada Goose Management Plan.
Thank you, members of the Commission. Secretary Roebling, I'm going to share my screen here real quick. Is everybody able to see my presentation?
Yes.
Okay, so this year was the planned update for the Canada Goose Management Plan, and in a very similar fashion to the Turkey Plan, we split the plan up into an action plan and then a larger, more inclusive document titled Management of Giant Canada Geese in South Dakota, which is available for you or the public to view, and it's just a much more inclusive, longer document that has more history and history of things like reintroduction and things like that. The action plan is a much more streamlined document with action items and will be updated on a 5-year basis. Much like the Turkey Plan as well, we had a very good stakeholder process. We had two meetings in the fall and in the winter. With really good representation of sportsmen, producers, Wildlife Federation, Farm Bureau, really good representation. We had really good participation in the discussions. So a little bit about population status, which was a question yesterday. So the last year that we have data for is 2019, at which the Breeding Population Index from the May survey was just over 188,000 birds, which is 30% from the previous estimate in 2018. Most recent 3-year average at just over 166,000, which is just above objective. Unfortunately, COVID restrictions and inability for pilots to get in the air on the services side prevented the survey to be flown in 2020 and very likely will prevent it from being flown in 2021 as well. But all indications from field staff and anecdotally is that we had a very strong breeding effort last spring. You'll see in a little bit here, we had some increase in requests for service, for depredation, and things like that. So we have likely we are at or above objective currently for all indications. And you can see there on the graph, as I said, the last year that we have data, we're just above objective, which would put us into the liberal category for management. As far as the decision table, this is the guts of the action plan. It's where the rubber meets the road. Really, it stayed very similar to the previous edition. The one thing that did change is kind of a trigger to change different management strategies from restricted to moderate to liberal. In the previous draft, in order to go above or below moderate management, you had to have 2 consecutive years above or below. One of the things that came out during the stakeholders process is that folks want to be a little more nimble and give a little more flexibility for management, which I agree with. And so we just took that 2-year sideboard out. So just if you're above, you're above. If you're below, you're below. And that triggers restrictive or liberal management. But the actual population objective itself stayed the same, 115 to 165,000 birds, breeding birds in the spring. Then just a little bit about the management priorities identified in the action plan. You know, of course, I mentioned before, Canada Goose damage management. As you see in the graph, we did see an increase in requests for service, in population index, requests for service actually went down, and a lot of that was in 2019, and a lot of that was due to fields not being planted. I don't believe I have the 2020 numbers yet, but we did see kind of a bump down in requests for service that year just because there was fewer fields planted. And we did see a little bit of an increase in expenditures in 2019, but nothing too dramatic at this point. But, you know, we have a very inclusive wildlife damage management program for Canada geese, including things like, as you see there, propane cannons, filter, buffer strips of small grains, and electric fence. Another priority is R3 with Canada goose management, because as we all know, hunting is the number one way that we control or manage Canada goose population in South Dakota. We have a pretty inclusive R3 effort in South Dakota. We have mowner equipment, decoys, blinds, trailers. We have all kinds of beginning hunting events. We have comprehensive learn to hunt classes. And then we also have the Lower Wahee Waterfall Access Area, where we have, you know, over 30,000 acres leased right next to pier for Canada goose hunting. Hunter access, another big priority. We have a whole myriad of places folks can waterfall hunt, specifically Canada geese, GPAs, WPAs, CREP in the James River watershed, lots of walk-in area, including co-op, where folks can actually drive out and deliver decoys to the field and drive back. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the 31,000 acres of the Lower Wahee Waterfall Access Area in Hughes and Sully Counties. And we're always open to trying to think outside the box on trying to be innovative and creative on ways to increase Canada goose hunting opportunities in South Dakota. And we regularly have brainstorming activities to that end. Harvest in South Dakota. Unfortunately, if you look at the hunter numbers, we've lost hunters in South Dakota. The average days hunted and the daily bags stay fairly consistent, but we've lost about a third of our resident hunters since 2010, and a very similar percentage of our harvest. You know, as you lose hunters, they can only harvest so many geese per hunter. So as you lose hunters, you lose harvest. Banding is also critical for critical part of our priorities for management. Allows us to monitor harvest rates, movement, survival. The goal annually for quota is 1,500 geese. We've been meeting that basically every year since 2012. We did not last year due to COVID restrictions. We banded just shy of 600 birds, but I was very grateful that we did get a limited effort out to have that data stream keep going. And just anecdotally, as of today, we're really similar to that 15% harvest rate for 2020. The 2020-21 season. I don't finalize that for a few more weeks just because we have a few band recoveries still coming in. And overall, we do maintain a high harvest rate for South Dakota geese. 15 to 20% is a high harvest rate for goose. Just a little map showing where last year's direct recoveries were. There was 186 recoveries out of the 2019 bandings. You can see the terminus of the migration is usually somewhere between Kansas and Oklahoma. And then a lot of birds recovered, of course, in South Dakota. As far as the habitat front, you know, as with everything, we can continue to support wetland and grassland conservation efforts in South Dakota, continue to be an active and engaged member of the Prairie Pothole Joint Venture, which is where a lot of those initiatives come out of and where we report to. And then Farm Bill Advocacy is always the, you know, 600-pound gorilla in the room. That's where a lot of the money is, a lot of the on-the-ground programs come out of the Farm Bill. And, of course, also efforts through our private lands, working lands program, Habitat Pays, Second Century Initiative, these all tie into Habitat for Giant Canada Geese. Any questions? I know I went fast, but I was under orders, too.
No, good presentation. Questions from the commission? Mr. Beast.
Commissioner Beast, losing a third of our resident hunters, what are we doing to try to attract them back or to recruit other hunters to start doing something?
So, well, the question was how to increase resident hunter numbers?
Yes, how do, what options do we have to recruit our resident hunters back or attract other hunters to help with control of this? If you look at the 10 to 20 year history of our average depredation costs, that starts to become, you know, a real number.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, the R3 effort is one of the main ways that we can recruit, retain, and reactivate waterfowl hunters in general in South Dakota. You know, the other number one way to do it is access. Trying to increase things like the co-op program, like I mentioned, where we have crop fields enrolled in walk-in area, basically, that folks can drive out to. That access is usually one of the number one limiting factors for field hunting in particular, and that's probably the number one way Canada geese are harvested in South Dakota. So any way we can increase access to crop field situations, that's the way we do it.
Does
this
comment your questions?
Mr. Chairman, also, Tom Kirsch, Wildlife Division Director, in relation to what Rock was describing in the R3 efforts, you know, in our conversation yesterday of the action sheet with the three splash from a duck hunting perspective is one of those tools that we're looking at. It's been talked about here multiple times in the commission meetings of recruiting and bringing on new duck hunters as well. And if we can recruit and reactivate some of those duck hunters, hopefully they'll be into the goose hunting opportunities as well. So we're excited about that three splash option, what that may result in looking into the future, and we're excited to get that implemented this coming fall.
Thank you. Commissioner Whitmire.
Thank you, Rocco. Question on population goals. On a national level, on the giant Canada goose in particular, are they kind of looking at the status quo or any changes to the population as far as their goal goes? Do you know anything on like the national service what they're talking or working on?
So as far as the central flyway Canada goose population goes, there is an upward trend on the midwinter survey and for the May survey. You know, there's Canada goose populations are increasing most places that temperate nesting Canada geese exist, except on the Atlantic Flyway. There's some declines over there that folks have some concerns about. But as far as the Mississippi Flyway and the Central Flyway, Canada goose numbers are extremely strong for the large body temperate breeding Canada geese. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Whitmire?
Mostly, I guess. So on that, being that they're strong, I mean, is the actual, if you had a wish list, would they be looking at a reduction from where we're at when you say we're strong today? Is it a little bit above what the ideal number would be, or are they just status quo is perfect?
Yeah, I would say right now we're above objective. So the last numbers that we have is a three-year average ending in 2019 where we were slightly above objective. We had a strong breeding effort last year. We are above objective right now, so that's why we've proposed for liberalization of the August management take and the early fall Canada goose season, both in days and in bag limit.
Does Rocco, when we're looking at how to get more hunters to participate, I think some of the discussion has been, since there's so many Canada geese everywhere, that attracting more non-residents is harder because most of those places have Canada geese to hunt as well, or is that not the case?
Yeah, I would say that's the case. Most places that non-resident hunters would come from, at least in the immediate vicinity, would certainly have early opportunities for Canada goose hunting in their own state. But obviously there's always a discussion to change restrictions on things like the AMT. You know, we've had those internal discussions. And also the restrictions for the southeastern portion of the state.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. We'll allow Commissioner Spring, and then I'll go to you, Chad.
I was wondering on the access part of that, you do a lot of depredation and fencing. Do most of those farmers let the people in? Is access 2 months of geese, or is it a tough deal to get people? Maybe they fly into areas where there is no damage. I'm just wondering on that part.
So any of our damage programs require what's called free and reasonable access to hunt, but that doesn't mean it's open to public hunting. You have to, just like with any of our other programs, it more is a check against things like commercialized goose hunting and things like that. So I guess I can't answer whether it's hard or easy to get on some of these areas, but part of the agreement for the wildlife damage program is to allow some free and reasonable access to hunt the species that is damage is being caused by.
Thank you, Rocco. Chad?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. So I just wanted to thank Rocco here for leading our efforts on this revision. Rocco does a lot of things behind the scenes at the national level with the Central Flyway and the Fish and Wildlife Service. And he's actually held some pretty strong leadership roles with the Flyway working on Canada goose management. So Rocco, thanks for your work on this. As Rocco indicated, we did have a very good participation from our stakeholder group from both the hunter side of things and the landowner ag side of things. We got a lot of good input. I think we were all in agreement on what is in here for those harvest strategies and the population objective. I think we're in a real good spot here. I guess our intent was for you to take action on this formally at your April meeting. But if you as a commission body are comfortable with what you see here today, it's certainly your desire to do what you want, Mr. Chair.
From the commission? No, I think it's a good presentation, so I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second. All right, been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign, motion carries. All right, good job, guys.